Okay, go ahead and turn, please.
Thank you, sir.
Parole Officer Denise McKinsey scans parolee Tyson Davis with a detection wand, then lets him through the door. It's time for his monthly required check-in. McKenzie asks about his life.
So you have self-employed?
I am.
So you're still, but you're still doing construction?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
For the same guy?
Yes, we're building a house for him.
Through church? Yeah. Yeah. Same guy through church.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to church?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm doing well in that regards.
Davis talks about getting medical treatment and visiting his mom. Within 10 minutes, their conversation is over. No red flags, no need for a urine analysis, or UA. McKenzie cheers his successes and offers support to help him with the 12-step program. Because that's what she does. She's a cheerleader, a best friend, and a mom.
I used to joke that with some of the offenders on my caseload, I need to be able to claim them on my income taxes dependents because they're just like my children.
McKenzie gets very involved with her offenders' lives. She knows their partners, their parents. She feels the emotional impact if they die.
When they overdose, that's the worst, because what could I have done to get them into the office, get them a UA? It would have been better to send them to jail than to see them die.
She sees her role as helping people lead stable lives by connecting them to resources that help them find housing and jobs. McKenzie says, ultimately, stability means offenders won't commit another crime. And it makes the community safer for everyone.
It comes down to we are, as a community, only as strong as the least among us. And my job is to make the people that are on my caseload stronger and a bigger part of the community. Because until they can rise, none of us can, really.
McKenzie is part of a larger cultural shift within the Probation and Parole Division of the Department of Corrections. The division's leaders are trying to focus on ways to connect offenders to community resources and help them be healthy and productive. To that end, McKenzie uses different tools, like random urine testing, to help people manage and treat their substance use issues instead of just throwing them back in jail. She uses her discretion. Being a parole officer is a job with a lot of gray areas. For Davis, who's been on parole for more than 3 years, McKenzie's approach is working. He says that's not always the case. Not everyone has a great relationship with their PO.
I think it has a lot to do with who you get as a PO as well. You get the different type of personalities, and I'm super blessed to have mine. I'm really blessed.
Parolee Jimmy Tulafano has a different officer, not McKenzie, and their relationship is more mixed. He says part of the problem is he's not always sure he understands what's expected of him, which is frustrating.
Sometimes I feel like I just want to just give up and just rather be in jail sometimes, but then you get to thinking, like, that ain't really where you want to be, you know?
Do you feel like your PO is on your side?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I think she is, and then sometimes I just think she just throw me to the wolves.
Tulafano likens parole to adult babysitting.
I'm a grown-ass man, excuse my French, you know, and it's like, that's what people feel like, but at the same time, you're on a leash. You're not free no more. Your life belongs to them for the next couple of years.
P.O. McKenzie says some people can't handle all of the rules. Even Tulafano has been back to jail a couple of times. McKenzie estimates that 30 to 35 people leave the office every week in handcuffs for having violated conditions of parole or for committing new crimes. Some people simply don't show up for appointments and have warrants out for their arrest. That's when her role as law enforcement officer kicks in.
If it's an offender that it's going sideways and committing crimes, my job is to get out there and try to find them and stop them.
McKenzie says it's about striking a balance to help keep the community safe and the parolees moving ahead with their lives.
The reality is you run across people that are on felony supervision each and every day, and you may not realize it. They have jobs. If you go into a restaurant in Anchorage, there's somebody on supervision probably working in that restaurant, and they're doing an exceptionally good job, and they're doing what they need to do to be members of our community.
And to help them keep doing that, McKenzie says she has to be versatile and approach each person as an individual. She says she has 79 people on her caseload, so she has to be 79 different POs. From the Urban Affairs Desk, I'm Ann Hillman.